1 Thessalonians, turn my mic on right here. 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 2. All right, preschool church and junior church headed their way to their classes. I hope you got your notebooks ready, take some notes, and your Bibles ready to let God speak to your heart. So good to see you here again today. I'm thankful for you. When you get there in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians, would you say amen? All right, you turn there. If you need a Bible, there should be maybe some extras in front of you. I encourage you to look at the Word of God with us. I always know that we do our best when we give attention to God's Word. In fact, that is the subject of this morning's message, is God's Holy Word. So let's take a great look at it and let our hearts be secure in Him. And let it be fixed. What a wonderful song to prepare our hearts for the message. We got 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I'm going to pick up where we left off last week, and I'd like to begin reading in verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. I want our attention to mainly be focused on verse 13 and some of 14, but mainly verse 13. And the title of this morning's message is this: Welcoming God's Holy Word into your lives. Welcoming God's Holy Word into your lives. Let's pray. Father, I need the power of the Holy Ghost. I cannot do anything apart from it. I recognize that. There are needs represented in every life that you only know about. And I'm asking that you would take your word and, Lord, use it in the hearts of everyone here and everyone that will hear this message in the future. I pray that it would be used to further God, the gospel, and your glory among the lands. I do want to pray, God, that hearts would be receptive. I pray for good ground, Lord. I pray you to remove distractions. I pray that, Lord, even in the hardness of some heart, perhaps, that there would be a crack where the seed of the Word of God can fall through. Oh, God, have mercy and give great grace in this hour. I trust you and I love you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I ask it and pray it. Amen. Welcoming God's Holy Word. That's what Paul is thanking this church for. Notice with me in verse 13. He says, for this cause also, what are the next three words? Let's say it together. For this cause, what do? Thank we God. Thank we God without ceasing. Without ceasing. That's important. Paul is commending this church here on how they receive the word. Now, if you just look over across the page of chapter 1, verse 6, we know how they had received it initially. Notice there. It says, and ye became followers of us. This is chapter 1, verse 6. Ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having, what's the next word? Received. Having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Now, he's giving reference there that even though there was persecution around them, although it was difficult for them during this time, they received it with joy. You may be here today and you're going through a hard time. And maybe you come here this morning and really you're not thinking you're going to get anything out of the message. Maybe there's some bitterness in your life. I don't know what your story is, but I want to tell you, even in the midst of affliction, God's Word can minister greatly to your heart. It's designed to. God has designed His Word to find a lodging place in your heart this morning so that it might take root and so that it might bring forth fruit for His glory. And I'm thankful you're here because that's a testimony to all those around you that you are at least somewhat interested in God's holy word. Well, I believe these people welcomed it and I believe they were prepared. Now, it's so important for as God's people to prepare our hearts for the word of God. Many times, for various reasons, our hearts are not prepared for God's word. You know, many times it may be a situation, for instance, where we are reading our Bibles, we're coming to church, and you have heard it maybe, and maybe you've said it. I'm just not getting anything out of it. I just don't sense God speaking. Now, no doubt about it, preachers have their days where they preach duds. I got more than I'd like to admit. You have teachers, your teachers that are not just waxing eloquent every time and hitting on all cylinders with their points and illustrations. And sometimes we come in and we're drained as teachers and preachers. No doubt. I don't want to take away from that. So there are times where we come in and just maybe seems a little dry. But listen, let me explain something to you. More times than not, I believe one of the major problems of us receiving something from God's Word is that our hearts are not prepared. It's not good soil. It may be, again, for various reasons. It may be skepticism. It may be unbelief. It may be, again, a bitterness or a resentment. It may be simply, again, fatigue. It's important for us to come to church with our hearts ready for the Word of God. It's so important. I can't emphasize it enough, dear brethren, for you to purposely come to church saying, God, speak. Your servant is listening. That's a good ground. That's a start because you and I know, those of you that are into gardening, know that when it comes springtime, what is the first thing that we have to do to get the garden ready? Till. Get out there and break up the fallow ground, that hardness that has come across, especially if it's got that Georgia red clay. You got to get that stuff broken up before you talk about planting seeds. And I'm afraid a lot of God's people come to church and they try to open their Bibles even in their home and they're not getting anything. They just seem like it's a dry well. And I'm afraid that a lot of times, brothers and sisters in Christ, it's because the heart is hard. And there needs to be a softening. There needs to be a brokenness there, a humility saying, God, I feel dry. I need you to speak to me. I need you, your word, to be to me as the deer panteth after the water brook. So doth my soul panteth after thee, O God, and thy word. And I believe that it is important. And I believe that when Paul came to Thessalonica, it is apparent that he's saying, Lord, he said, church, I just want to thank you. Thank you that when I came into Thessalonica, you heard the word of God and you responded in faith and humility. I mean, Paul was a stranger. They didn't know the apostle Paul when he stepped into Thessalonica. But he started preaching the gospel. He wasn't preaching himself. He was preaching the good news that Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and rose again the third day. That was the good news. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, we cannot improve on that message. We cannot. It's the purest. It's the greatest. Oh, it's the most beautiful message that man has ever heard. If he will listen, if he will take heed and apply it to his own life. I'm even praying sometimes. I'll feel, you know, a little sick with preachers. Sometimes we step into the pulpit and we're praying about what the Lord would have us say or not to say. But one of the things I understand when I read this verse, especially in verse number 13, where he thanked them without ceasing because they had received the word of God, not as of men. I was telling Sunday school this morning, they didn't receive it like it was from Dr. Phil or Oprah or any other person that has wisdom apart from the Word of the living God. It was not psychology, okay? It was not psychiatry, okay? It was the Word of the living God that they responded to, because when Paul started preaching, they knew that this is something different. It's the power of God. This is hitting us in our hearts. We're sinners. We know that. We've fallen short. He's telling us the bad news that we're sinners, and he's telling us the good news that we can be saved. We can be rescued. That's the glorious message. And boy, they responded in faith. And not only after that, for the 3 weeks or 3 months, however long Paul stayed there before he was run out of town, as we'll see, they were receiving the Word of God. And my exhortation to you today, Crooked Creek Baptist Church, is you will be a church that receives the Word of God. Hey, listen, I love church. Not just because I'm a pastor. I loved church when I first got saved, before God called me to preach. I loved it. I loved going in and just feeding on the Word of God. And I have, since the past 18 years of my life, I've noticed there have been some dry spells in my life where I simply go through those desert lands where you don't really get anything out of the book. And those are times where you're just saying, oh God, renew my heart. And I may be speaking to someone today and, hey, your heart's dried up and you need some tenderizing. You need to call out to God and say, Lord, I want to receive your word as the living God. Because listen, I'm not standing before you Sundays and Wednesdays giving you Brinson's opinion. I'm not giving you Brinson's thoughts. It's just what I preach to you. It's the Word of the living God. The Creator of the universe spoke through men as they wrote the Word of God. The Holy Spirit breathed on them. We have the written Word, what I hold in my hand, and there was the living Word. Both were born miraculously. Both were came through men. One came through a woman who, by the way, was not sinless. Mary was not sinless. But she did give birth to the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was a miraculous birth. And God Almighty was in the womb and was born to this earth and was without sin and never sinned. And he was sinless and he was perfect. And he was born into this world through a woman. And the Word of God was born through men as well. Men who were, by the way, sinners like you and me. I think of men like David. Read the Psalms, and it's so encouraging. You know why the Psalms are so encouraging, brethren? It's because we read it and we're like, wow, that's so me. Times of discouragement, times of doubt, times of persecution or injustice. And we're like, God. But that's another reason I believe the Bible's real, because I believe in my heart if it was written by only men, it would only be the good stuff. Man's heart is revealed completely in its depravity.
And the Son of God is also revealed in His glorious majesty. And the wonderful victory that He has wrought for each of us that have put our faith in the gospel. And have received the Holy Spirit of God. And now when we come and hear the preacher preach the Word of God, he shouldn't be. And hold me accountable. I say that humbly as I can, church. Hold me accountable. If I'm not preaching God's Word, I don't need to be behind this pulpit. But with God's help, when I stand before you, now I do give my opinions. And sometimes I probably should make that clear, because we're going to have our opinions, aren't we? But I want to tell you, as I preach the Word of God, I'm preaching God's very Word. And we should take it with authority and submit our hearts to it. It's not Brinson up here making suggestions. Now again, there are some things that we can't be as dogmatic about. But the Bible is for literal, clear interpretation. And where it's figurative, it's obvious that it's figurative. And we understand, as we study the Word of God, there are some areas that we have to be careful on being so dogmatic. But the majority of it, it is clearly instructional, and it is commandments, and it is clear. We ought to be saved. It's a commandment. We ought to walk by faith. It's a commandment. Husbands love their wives as Christ loved the church. It's a commandment. Wives, submit your husbands as unto the Lord. It's a commandment. Brethren, the church, pray. Pray without ceasing. That's a commandment. Rejoice always. That's a commandment. Hey, be holy as I am holy. That's a commandment. There are so many things in this Word of God that are not, there are no gray areas. And as your teacher teaches and teaches your children in the mornings, our goal here at Crooked Creek Baptist Church, and on Sunday nights, Wednesday nights, whenever this church door is open, we should be teaching and preaching the Word of God. Thus saith the Lord. And the way that happens is, see, the Word of God does not need improving. The Word of God does not need changing. The Word of God does not need softening. The Word of God does not need to be added to or subtracted from. The Word of God is totally sufficient. From Genesis to Revelation, we have the complete canon, the Holy Word of God. It is without error. Some say, well, don't you know about those contradictions, Pastor? I've been a Christian for 18 years, and every time I have asked someone to show me that contradiction, 9 times out of 10, they don't know where they are. And those that I have talked to, I believe there is an explanation when there does seem like a contradiction. Because there are areas, as a Bible student, you will know very quickly that sometimes it may be a paradox. It may be in some sort of light. It might be a number that's off a little bit in the Old Testament from one perspective's account and from another king's account. It might be a disciple that had a different perspective on the life of Jesus and had a different view of the account of the cross from another apostle. And that's not contradiction, friend. That is diversity. And by the way, we see how God has, this book is a miracle. And so my challenge to you this morning, I don't know if I'm doing a good job of it, but my challenge for us is to become better and better and better receivers of the Word of God. Welcoming the Word of God. Bringing your family. What's a practical way that you can be ready to receive the Word of God? Can I just give you a simple one? I haven't put a lot of thought into this, but I think it's super practical. And I want to challenge you to do it as a church if you're not already doing it. Some of you are doing it, and praise God. But would you, on your way to church in the morning, as a family, would you pray for the church service? Would you say, God, would you help our Sunday school teacher be filled with the Spirit? Help Pastor be filled with the Spirit. Help us as we come and sing. Bless Brother Mike as he leads us in song, and the musicians, Kay and Noel. Would you pray that your heart would be ready to receive the Word of God with fellowship? Would you pray, begin a habit of let's pray and ask God to meet with us in every service? It's, you know what that does? It helps prepare your heart, because you're signifying in your own life and to your children, we're hungry. We're thirsty. We need to hear from God. We need help. And we need hope. We need guidance and clarity. God's going to help us today. So let's come
ready. Now, there are some other practical ways to prepare your heart. That is also to confess sin. I think if we're all honest in here, we've all been carnal, even right up to coming to church. We'll be arguing in the car with a spouse or trying to hit kids in the back of the seat with whatever we can find. And then we open the door, praise God, hey Brother Joe, it got good. You know it's true. We can put it on quick. I'm telling you, we can do it. I have, your pastor has. There have been times where I, on the way to church, especially if the kids are in there, I'm saying, kids, look, Dad was wrong the way I've been acting this morning. And I need to get that right with God. I want to confess my anger. I want to confess my pride. Whatever the sin is, one way to prepare your heart for the Word of God to fall on some good ground, brethren, listen to me. Please, keep sin confessed. And it's not hypocritical either. You say, well, isn't that just, well, just only confess sin? No, you should be confessing sin every day throughout the day. But I believe before you come into church, Lord, I don't want anything to harden my heart from the good seed of the Word today. Lord, I want to be tender, sensitive, good ground, that good soil. I want my heart to be like, man, I know there's some good gardens around here. Man, they grow a lot of good stuff around here. But I tell you one thing, when I go to Minnesota, one of the things I notice immediately when I go up there and visit Joanna's family in Minnesota is that dirt is black. It is rich. I mean, I'm telling you, no wonder they grow all they grow. And no wonder they all look like Goliaths. I'm just kidding, they don't. No. It is funny, man. You see a Minnesota football team, oh man. But nevertheless, it is important for us to have prepared hearts. I believe when Paul came into Thessalonica, he says, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for receiving the Word of God like it was. I believe they received it reverently. I believe they received it with humility. I believe they received it with rejoicing. Now, this is what you don't want to do. You don't want to come into church like this. Because you've already made up your mind, you're not going to give good soil for the seed. You don't want to come into church defiant. Maybe you are questioning some things. And listen, you're among friends. We all have liberty to work through struggles in life. But one of the ways that you can hear from the Lord, you say, I don't get it, I don't understand it, is open your heart to the Lord. There's a verse in John chapter 7. I can't quote it, but Jesus gives a promise. He says, if you will to know my doctrine, I will show it unto you. Now, I think I paraphrased that verse, but he says, if you will to know my doctrine, I will teach you. I will show you the way. That's a promise. And so my encouragement to each of us as we come into the services to come with a ready heart to receive the Word of God, not as from Pastor Brinson or from Christian or Jason or Wanda or Kathy or whomever it might be. Name it, our teachers that come and preach, or Caleb. No, when our teachers are trained and when we open the Word of God, we are teaching the Word of God. Now, I hope our teachers, I need to do better at this. When we do give our opinion, we should state it. And this is my thought on this. This is my understanding. There may be some not crystal clarity there, but the fact of the matter is, most of it, like I said, we can dogmatically say this is what the Lord is saying. And we don't need to apologize for it. We don't apologize for that. You see, what is happening here is a transformation among these people. And when we come to church, this is the greatest reason. We love fellowship, we love music,
We love those things, and those are important. They're biblical. But the main reason we come to church is for this: the Word of God. To know Him through His Word. God has revealed Himself in His Word. Therefore, we want to be in a church that's preaching the Word of God, that's teaching the Word of God, that's singing the Word of God, that's sharing the Word of God. That is what we desire to be. Now, they paid for it because of the persecution. Notice it says here in your Bible that they received it, and not as the word of men, but as in truth the word of God, which was doing what? Effectually worketh also in you that believe. That word effectually worketh, that's a powerful word in the original there. It's energizing. The word of God energizes us to do the will of God. Can I say that again? The word of God energizes us to do the will of God. Would you say that with me? All right. The Word of God energizes us to do the will of God. We need the Word. That's why we encourage Bible reading here. I hope you receive the Word in your home, in your personal devotions, and let it find a lodging place in your heart. Now, most people in the world, I was mentioning this to Sunday school, most people in the world are not necessarily opposed to morality. Doing good to your neighbor, not killing, not stealing, and that's a good thing. There's a general acceptance to morality, even though when you start talking, where did absolute morality come from? Why is it wrong to kill someone? That's another message. But most people are good for that, and even religion, for the most part, the world is receptive, honestly, to people having their religion. That's fine. You have your religion. I'll have mine. We can get by in this world with that. Most of the world, but get this. I'll tell you what most of the world is absolutely against. And that's this. Mark it down. Transformative Christianity. What is transformative Christianity? It's a life that's submitted to this blessed holy book. And that's being transformed by Jesus Himself. The life of Christ, living in and through us, preaching dogmatically that He is the only way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come to the Father but by Him. He's the only one that can change a life. That's why on Friday nights, we have a ministry called Freedom That Lasts, because we believe, and our motto is that true and lasting freedom comes only through Jesus Christ. He's the only way. And when we're being transformed by that, the world is antagonistic against that. And that's what happened here. But Paul said you received it, but they're getting ready to pay for it. What do you mean? Well, tonight, I want to share with you on how Paul is going to mention that the persecution that came upon the Jews in Jerusalem, the Jewish believers, when they first got saved in Judea, they received great persecution. And ironically so, you know who a lot of that persecution came from? The same guy that wrote this book. He was Saul at the time. He brought havoc upon the church of the living God. But he's saying the same persecution that the Jews received and the believers in Judea received is the same persecution that now you're now receiving from your fellow countrymen, which were the Thessalonians, the Gentiles in that area, and Jews. There was a mixture. But he's saying you are being persecuted because you're receiving the Word of God as the literal Word of God. And you're letting it transform your life. Man, you're going out and sharing the gospel. It's changing your home. Decisions are being made for the glory of God and not for self. He's saying, listen, you're paying for that, aren't you? They were. They suffered. That's what the Bible says. I believe the second theme of this book is not just the second coming of Christ, but I believe it's also suffering for Christ. And tonight, I want to mention what that statement that he makes in verse 16. He says that these people would forbid him to speak the gospel, the message, to fill up their sins always. And notice that last phrase, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. What is Paul talking about
for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. It's always that fill up their way. They were storing unto themselves wrath. And he was encouraging these Thessalonians, listen, I know the Christian life is not easy. I know you're standing, taking a stand for Jesus Christ in ways that people are mocking you. But I want to assure you, it's happened to your brethren. It's happening to you, and it will always be until Jesus comes. And you can be assured that judgment will come to them one day. But you stay faithful. You honor the Lord. You win the lost. You reach those Sauls out there that will eventually be a Paul. Reach them. May God have mercy as we receive the Word of God with gladness. Oh, with great hope. May God give us. I say this in closing. How should we welcome the Word of God? We should welcome it as a dear friend. I don't know about you, but my dear friends, I encourage me. Do your friends encourage you? I hope you have the kind of friends that encourage you. I want to receive the Word of God as a friend. Number two, I want to receive as a needed balm to heal my soul when I'm struggling in the flesh or when Satan's getting after me or when all those things. I need to yield and be healed. I need to welcome as a needed balm. Number three, I want to welcome it as a fresh spring, a spring of living water. Oh, yes, friend, to hydrate and be refreshed. You know, when you don't get hydrated, you know what happens? You cramp up. And my goodness, you know as well as I do, that is no fun. Cramping up, you see the guys out there playing football, how they cramp up. It's a lot of it's to do with hydration. And I want to welcome the Word of God from keeping from having to cramp up spiritually. Welcome it as a fresh spring. Welcome it as a sounding alarm. Sin is at the door. Judgment is coming. The Word of God is given as an alarm to protect us from harming ourselves. It's a sounding alarm. I want to welcome it as that. Sometimes my bell is rung and sometimes yours is, but that's good. Welcome that alarm. I don't know what reason. Brother Tyler, you'd have to explain it to me, but every once in a while in my office, I'll hear the South Jackson alarm going off. Yeah, and they do that for testing purposes. At least I hope that was just testing purposes. It wasn't anything I needed to get out of town for, but nevertheless, They sound that many times, from what I understand, even tornado warnings. There's a tornado in the area. That thing goes off, and man, it's loud. I don't know from where the crow flies how many miles we would be. Maybe 2 miles from the station from where the crow flies. But here's the thing. That alarm would go off in the time of a storm, tornado watch, to protect us. And when you get under conviction in a service like this, or when you're going to Sunday school and God's dealing with your heart, welcome that as a blessing. Say, God, thank you for ringing my bell. Thank you for sounding the alarm. And then lastly, I welcome the Word of God as a mighty fortress. This book right here is a fortress for my soul. As we read it, we claim His promises. We claim His love. We claim His guidance. We claim His power. We claim Him near to us as He speaks to us. It's God speaking. It's a fortress. It's a mighty fortress for my soul. Welcome it that way. Run to it and be safe. Let's pray.